Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph on the eve of the French Open at Roland Garros. You can probably hear in the background the sound of ball on tennis racket. Where are you, Catherine Whittaker?
I'm in the presence of balls and tennis rackets, David. I am courtside at Roland Garros, court number four, in the presence of a certain Serena Williams and of course, Patrick Mouratoglou and an unidentified female hitting partner. But most importantly, I'm in the presence of Serena Williams, who is about 20 minutes into a scheduled two-hour practice session.
Wow. I mean, that's it already sounds pretty intense just hearing you down the line. I'm not in Roland Garros right now. I'm in the UK in my office before I take my son to football practice. But crikey, she is really ripping into that ball by the sounds of things. French Open starts tomorrow. Things are gearing up there.
Yeah, as you would expect, she is absolutely high intensity. She's standing at the moment about a metre inside the baseline to receive the serve of this poor unidentified female hitting partner. And I'm not going to fall into that trap that we discuss a lot, David, of saying, oh yeah, she looks really good in practice, because we know that Serena Williams can hit tennis balls really, really well. And that's exactly what she's doing at the moment. And in all honesty, with Serena, what's going to be the barometer of her success here and in her comeback is probably the movement, isn't it? And at the moment, she's just walloping returns. So I can't analyse the movement too much. But she looks in good shape to me. She looks in good shape.
Yeah. Hard to believe that it was just a week ago, wasn't it, that she was at the wedding of Harry and Meghan Markle. I mean, quite a shift in intensity, I dare say, for her. And I mean,
well, I don't know. She looked pretty intense about the royal wedding, David. I think that was pretty serious business for her. I've got a scheduled, obviously, Patrick Mouratoglou, her coach, does a lot of work for Eurosport as well. I've got a scheduled chat with him later on today, and I will definitely be asking whether the Rome withdrawal and the royal wedding invitation were in any way linked events. I can't guarantee I'll get a straight answer, but I will be asking that question.
He's quite good at the old straight answer, though, isn't he? He's not somebody shies away.
No, it's fair to say Patrick Mouratoglou, bless him, likes to talk to the media. We love him for that.
Yeah. I seem to remember you were watching practice exactly a year ago on this day, weren't you? And it was incredibly hot. What's it like now?
Yeah, well, do you know what, David? I remember that day so vividly, mostly because I think it might be the most I've ever sweated, and I don't say that lightly, and also because all of my recording equipment malfunctioned due to the heat. But what I remember vividly that it was between the hours of 11 and 1, and it was court number 1, and it was Rafael Nadal having a practice match with Luca Puy. Now, very interestingly, that is exactly what is scheduled to happen today as well. Same day, same court, same time, same players. And I wonder if that is one of the ever meticulous Rafael Nadal's latest superstitions at Roland Garros now.
Yeah, Could well be, couldn't it? Rafa, of course. I mean, I was looking at some of the odds earlier. I mean, I'm not somebody who bets. I've never really been into that. But I don't think I've ever seen odds as odds on as he is to win this title. I mean, it really is just assumed that will happen. I mean, and the draw took place a couple of days ago, didn't it? I've got student Matt live tweeting it on our tennis podcast Twitter feed, lined up his sort of expected route to the final if all went according to plan. He opens up against Alexander Dolgopolov, and really, when you look through his draw, it is kind of hard to see how he comes unstuck. I would have thought probably before the semis, I mean, or anywhere.
It's a sweet, sweet draw for Rafael Nadal, let's be honest. I mean, there are a few people that maybe he would have wanted to avoid it. I mean, and this really is scraping the barrel. You'd probably have said, obviously, he was always going to avoid Zverev because they were first and second seeds, but probably Djokovic, Del Potro, and maybe Fognini. And none of those are lurking anywhere near him. And yeah, bless him, student Matt. You know, when you're live tweeting draws, you do the projected quarterfinal lineup according to seeding, and trying to, with all due respect to the big serving South African, trying to big up a potential quarterfinal Roland Garros meeting between Nadal and Kevin Anderson is hard work, and student Matt did it admirably.
He did. I mean, Jack Sock potentially in the fourth round, but he's somebody I feel a bit like Kyle Edmund, who just has a game big enough that could worry anybody on his
day. He does, but where's he been, David?
Well, I know.
Where's he been?
I agree.
Kyle Edmund has had a great clay court season and has really pushed on and is showing, you know, why and how much he loves this surface and, you know, how hard he's prepared to work. But where is Jack Sock? I agree, he's got the raw materials to... I don't think he has it over five sets to challenge Nadal, but I think he could, you know, come out swinging and take a set from him. But where has Jack Sock been? Somebody tell me, because he's not been injured. He's just... I don't know, we talked about how the Americans don't necessarily always commit to clay, but if anyone's going to, you think Jack Sock would want to. Serena Williams is about to serve, by the way, David. Oh, she's just a dolly serve. Still about 10 times faster than my fastest ever serve, but it's definitely just a warm-up serve at this stage. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We'll go through the women's draw in a little while as well, and just look who Serena's likely to be playing against. But I share the thoughts about Sock. And then you've got people that are just unknowns physically. I mean, on paper, I would have thought Del Potro would have been a fascinating match. But, I mean, there are real question marks over so many players. And when you look at that draw, you feel the opportunities are just enormous for people. I mean, if you're in the right bit.
Yeah, I would say so. But, and yet somehow... it's kind of one of those weird ironies, isn't it, where there are sort of mini pockets of opportunity in it. Overall, there seems to be absolutely no opportunity, because it just... I'm not going to use the expression, David, but you know the words that I, if I were feeling more foolish, might say. Del Potro is probably the only person in this draw who you feel like on his day actually genuinely could maybe beat Rafael Nadal over five sets, but not if he's not feeling physically fit. And, you know, it was only a week ago that we saw him receiving what looked like pretty agonising treatment in the corridors of Rome for a pretty nasty hip injury. So I just don't see that as a realistic
no.
prospect.
The people that have beaten him before, Djokovic and the most recent one, Thiem. And then the other one who's just in great form, although he's never beaten him, is Zverev.
But David, Thiem is busy thrashing around playing tennis in Lyon. Why is he doing that?
I don't...
What's
I mean,
he doing? I know he'll probably win the title. He's playing Gilles Simon in the final today. But really, really, according to the bookies, he's the third favourite for this title here, albeit obviously a very distant third. But third favourites for titles don't play the week before a Grand Slam. It just that doesn't happen, and there's a reason for it. And I just despair. I despair, David.
Yes, I don't know what he's doing either. My son has just come in to say hello to Tennis Podcast listeners, by the way, because I've got to take him to football in a moment, and I'll continue the podcast over there. But just before we get onto that, Dominic Thiem, I don't understand it. When we look back at the canister to which you referenced.
There's nothing left in the canister. I feel like the canister might already be empty, David.
Yeah, the Roger Federer canister. Dominic Thiem has been expending matches overnight against Guillermo Garcia Lopez over 3 hours and then coming back for the final. I mean, it's all very admirable. And if he goes and wins Roland Garros, you know, we will just have to eat a massive slice of humble pie. But nobody does this. Nobody prepares for Grand Slams at the very top level by playing the week before. It just doesn't happen.
I'll give you one exception, and that's Stan Wawrinka. Stan Wawrinka used to always play Geneva, didn't he?
So he's somebody who used to need to get his eye in and all that sort of thing. Yes. Maybe team feels that he needs to do that, but I don't understand it.
But I don't know. There seem to be signs behind Wawrinka, whereas Thiem is somebody with a proven record of not peaking at the Slams. So I believe it's a slightly different situation. But hey, we always have humble pie at the ready, should it be required, David. It's never very far away. Yes.
Oh, no, we order that en masse before every slam, just in case.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. The other big thing here, Catherine, is the weather. Because, I mean, Nadal at any time is a brilliant player on clay and he's the overwhelming favourite to win this title. If it's sunny and if it's hot, balls are going to be spitting off that red dust surface and bouncing over people's head like a lob. So what is the weather forecast like?
Yeah, I agree with you. Unquestionably, it's a factor, and it's very difficult to imagine at the moment because, as we speak, I've actually just moved locations. I'm now on the brand new court number 7, which used to be where I bought my quiche, my daily quiche, but it's now court number 7, and I'm currently watching Kyle Edmund practice with Gael Monfils, the unseeded Gael Monfils, and I'm sitting at the top of the stand in absolutely glorious sunshine and luxurious warmth. But I tell you, the forecast for the week here in Paris, pretty much from the time play starts tomorrow, is absolutely appalling.
Is it?
Yeah, it's awful. It's quite warm. It's not like cold English rain, but it is rain. Is a lot of rain.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they are still yet to roof this place, David.
We're about 2 years away, aren't we, from the roof?
We could be seeing a lot of Whittaker in a poncho on Eurosport.
I think it's 2020, isn't it, when the roof is supposed to come in? Can you not bring that forward?
Supposedly, although I'd say if it's 2020, you'd be seeing signs of roof building already. And unless they're doing a very subtle job of it, I don't see any signs of roof building at all.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're certainly taking their sweet, sweet time.
Fine. I mean, one other player we talked about
last
week...
Not fine, David. They need to get a roof on this thing.
Not fine. If it helps at all, I'm now at my son's football training and it is raining on me as I sit here talking to you. So that should help. As well as the other players that we've already mentioned, we talked last week about Kyle Edmund, about the opportunity that knocks for him. Have you seen him around at all? I mean, I know you've already been speaking to people.
I'm looking at him as we speak, David.
Oh, great. So how's he looking?
Yes, I'm watching
him practice report, because we rely on those.
Well, he is serving. He looks very relaxed. He's staying in my hotel, actually. Saw him at breakfast this morning and I saw him last night. Sounds a little bit like I'm stalking Kyle Edmund. He happened to be in the same little French restaurant around the corner from the hotel that Team Eurosport went to last night. And he was sat there with Freddie Rosengren, his coach, and his fitness trainer as well. And they were deep in conversation. I was trying to imagine that they were, talking tactics, but I couldn't actually overhear what was being said. But I can confirm he had a lovely burrata pesto starter followed by a burger.
Oh, fantastic. The stuff of sort of potential French Open champions for dinner, perhaps. he could play Fabio Fanini in the third round. I know I'm looking a bit far ahead probably there, because he's got Alex de Minaur in the first round, the talented Australian. But I don't think he's not big and strong enough to win on clay, is he, de Minaur?
No, it's too soon for Alex de Minaur. I mean, who knows? He might end up learning to play on clay. But I think, A, it's even when he does get bigger and stronger, it's going to be his weakest surface. And B, he's still disgustingly young. So I love Alex de Minaur. I think he's the real deal. And I can't wait for him to become the real deal. But I think Kyle is going to be just fine round number one. Fanini in round three. I still think over five sets, Kyle is mature enough now to not panic about Fanini hitting a purple patch, to go, okay, you know, I'm just going to stick with this and kind of try and outlast him physically. I think Kyle backs himself over five to outlast someone physically, certainly someone like Fanini, who we saw wilt so badly with physical issues when he was redlining it against Nadal. So okay, we might see, you know, a brilliant on fire Fanini, but I still think best of five, Kyle will take that now. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know there's Marin Cilic potentially in the fourth round. I mean, the thing is,
Marin Cilic, David, no one showed up for his press conference. No one. Not a single soul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was listed on the top seeds all come to, you know, regardless of request, the top seeds are always brought for pre-event press, because it's just assumed that they'll be wanted by the world's media. And there were three poignant announcements of Marin Cilic's press conference, followed by a lengthy silence and then the ushering of Marin Cilic out to his next commitment.
Oh no, that's harsh. So that's poor old Marin Cilic, who actually got married. So very many congratulations to Marin Cilic for getting married very recently.
Yeah, I mean, other things in his life are fine. It's just, yeah. And bless him, he did, you know, there are other players whose ego would be very damaged by such a situation, but he didn't seem remotely bothered.
No,
so good on him.
Good on him. Well, thank goodness for that. He just wants to go out there and win tennis matches, doesn't he? So that's all right. Who else have you been speaking to over the last 24 hours or so, Catherine? Because you've been there a couple of days, haven't you? This is sort of interview weekend, isn't it, before it all gets cracking?
Yeah, it's interview-tastic times. Had a pretty lengthy interview with Joe Konter, actually, who obviously things haven't been going brilliantly for of late. She had a couple of results on clay, and Yeah, she's as always, really. It's very difficult to know what to read into to what she's saying. She seemed really relaxed. She talked about, you know, all the good things that she thinks herself and Michael Joyce are doing off the practice court. She agreed that she's kind of playing a bit with house money here because she, you know, last year was obviously her best year ever, and she still lost first round here. So the pressure really is off. She has an opponent, Yulia Putintseva, in round number one, who she's played twice, both on clay, beaten her both times. And that's a pretty good starting point for a match. But you still just never know. It's so much about the mental and the confidence with Konta, and she always talks a good game about that. But until she gets out there and you really see how much she's committing and how loose that right arm is, I don't think we're going to know.
Feisty. She's somebody who can get under players' skin, so that could be quite interesting one.
I wouldn't want to mess with Putintseva, put it that way. I had a chat, a limited in time chat, because the top players, you only get the standard three questions with them, but a chat with both Simona Halep and Elaine Ostapenko yesterday, last year's two finalists, of course. Halep, definitely the more revealing of the two. You know, she talked, I'd asked her about coming here as the world number one for the first time. She's obviously beaming with pride about that, and it definitely does give her a boost, without question, playing with that number one next to her name. She feels, you know, some players that have been to number one without winning a slam, they feel kind of the reverse of what Simona Halep seems to be feeling, you know, a little bit undeserving or just a little bit bashful about it. But she feels the opposite, you know, she feels validation in that achievement, and I think that's absolutely how she should feel. But she also willingly, forthcomingly said, yeah, but it comes with an awful lot of pressure, and I'm trying to deal with that pressure, but it, you know, I can't deny that the pressure is there. So, yeah, and she's a really interesting balance of both being incredibly close to winning a Grand Slam and it feeling inevitable, but also the closer and closer she gets without doing it, the more scar tissue builds up. And, of course, there'll be scar tissue from last year's final, leading a set and a break. Of course, there'll be scar tissue from the Australian Open final, where she was also heartbreakingly close. It's a balance, isn't it? On the one hand, she'll think, well, you know, I've been so close before, it's only that one tiny extra step away. But on the other hand, there is scar tissue from heartbreak like that. And Elena Ostapenko, David, sassy as ever. She sort of, you can't help but like her, yet she's still being... She was in a press conference. If she gets a duff question, she gives you a fair amount of sass about it. But I kind of love that. You know, someone asked her about the whole Alona thing. Her name, her given name is Yelena, because Alona is the name her parents wanted to call her, but it wasn't on the registry of names that you're allowed to call your children in Latvia, so they had to officially call her Yelena, but she prefers to be anyway. That's very well documented. You know, after the final last year, she spoke a lot about it. Even some umpires on the tour call her Alona when they're calling score. Yeah. But this guy obviously hadn't done any research and asked her about that, and she basically just rolled her eyes at him, and it was kind of magnificent. It was kind of magnificent, David.
Yeah, we always like a good eye roll.
Because she is young. She's 20, but she seems younger than that still. She seems to me like a 16-year-old, really.
Yeah. Looking at the draw, I don't know what you think. I had a look at it this morning, and I felt as though Halep has got a decent-ish draw. I think you're better off being in the top half than, say, Svitolina, who we were talking about last week as you know, a real contender for this title, but she's suddenly down there with all the big hitters like Ostapenko and Kvitova. I'm not sure what half Serena's in. Did you see that? But, I mean, it's to me, Halep is better off being in the top half of the draw.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Wozniacki down at the bottom, but as the second seed, but realistically, I don't. For me, unless there are big upsets elsewhere, I don't see her as a prominent contender for this title. I don't know about you.
I've got Wozniacki as a first round exit
to Danielle Collins. Could happen,
yeah,
David. Really could happen.
Danielle Collins.
And then in the next round, she potentially faces Tomei Bachinski, who, look, I know has had a tough time and has had a lot of injuries and had one quite recently, but still, she's still Tomei Bachinski at Roland Garros, so I think that's no gimme. I tell you who has got a tough draw, David. Garbiñe Muguruza.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Svetlana Kuznetsova, round number one. Oh, what do you think?
Well, I mean, if you're going to play Kuznetsova, now is the time to play her because she's been injured, she's been out with a wrist surgery. But I don't know, I just feel that Muguruza is vulnerable. I mean, I think she can come into the grass court season without much form and still produce. I mean, we saw that. She won Wimbledon last year. But no, I don't see it at the French, personally. I don't see it. I still feel I'm going Halep for the title.
She's a good actress, isn't she, Muguruza? By her own admission, you know, she says herself, if I hadn't been a tennis player, I would have been an actress. So she's good at turning it on, but she just seems flat to me. She seems flat, and you know, she's going to get the feelings and the jolt of adrenaline that she needs anywhere. You'd think it'd be here, you know, the scene of her first ever Grand Slam title only a couple of years ago. You'd think it would all be vivid and visceral and would give her the spark she needs. But to me, she seems flat, and I'm not sure you can win a Grand Slam feeling that way. But equally, I think she could flick a switch and turn it on, which, as you say, she's done it done at Wimbledon. But I don't know, she is such a mystery to me. I think as much as anyone I would love to get inside her brain, because she still seems a complete enigma to me.
Yeah. Ostapenko has got Kozlova first round, could play Azarenka in the second round. I mean Azarenka's not really a clay court specialist, but There's just so much potential, really, for upsets and surprises. I mean, I think Sharapova against Pliskova, Karolina Pliskova in round three, is an interesting one. Incidentally, Serena Williams has got sister Kristina Pliskova in round one. But I've got a feeling Sharapova could be up for a run here. I think she takes out Pliskova in round three. There we go. I'm going big predictions.
I mean, that's going to be explosive, isn't it? You wouldn't want to be a tennis ball in that. I mean, that's going to be so explosive. That's pretty much a 50-50, isn't it? It's just who gets out of bed the better side that day. You know, yeah. It's going to be no subtle tactics. Yeah, I think Serena's going to be fine against Kristina Pliskova. I've been a bit disappointed with Kristina Pliskova's lack of pushing on, really.
Yes.
Is this a good time, therefore, to remind you that you predicted a Pliskova against Pliskova Grand Slam final lurking somewhere in our future? And I don't know, David, I commentated on one of her matches in Madrid a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought she hadn't made any progress at all. She's obviously got great raw materials. I mean, yes. That goes without saying almost, but, well, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I can always rely on Catherine Whittaker for a timely reminder. I think
Serena Williams is going to be fine, put it that way, and I'm not sure whether we'll get a great benchmark of where she's at, because I'm not sure how tested she'll be.
Yeah. Incidentally, I mentioned Petra Kvitova. Good news that the person that attacked her has apparently been caught and is going to be up before the courts.
The person they suspect attacked her, David.
Yeah. True. Yes, that's right.
But yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that must be an enormous weight off her mind. I mean, I'm not sure barely any of us can really conceive of what that feels like for her. But yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah, can I mention Francesca Schiavone quickly?
You can,
David?
Yes. She was one of my two qualifiers I was going to mention alongside Bernard Tomic.
She's 37 years old. She didn't get a main draw wild card, even though she's a former champion and finalist.
That's awful, isn't it?
And she said, oh, well, I don't need a wild card. I'm going to go and qualify. And I bloody love her. I just think that's awesome. But yes, she absolutely should have got a wild card.
It is, but doesn't it just show the value of coming through qualifying? Finally, Bernhard Tomic is not getting given a handout. I mean, I know Francesca Schiavone is at completely the other end, but I'm so pleased that Tomic has just decided to enter qualifying, not just give up, and he's come through and he's actually qualified. I think that's really
come
cool.
Through without losing a set. I saw him at breakfast as well this morning, David, looking pretty nonplussed by the whole experience. He's drawn Kyrgios. Have you seen the qualies draw where they've put them? He's got Kyrgios round one.
Yeah, very funny.
It's so great. Yeah. Well,
what does Bernhard Tomic have for breakfast?
Oh, I saw him getting juice. I can't confirm what was consumed on the food front.
Okay, that's very healthy. Anything else you want to talk about, Catherine, before I tell our listeners a few things that are in the Telegraph this Saturday?
Anything else I want to talk about? I mean, there will be plenty of things over the course of the developing days. But no, I think, I don't think there's any major omissions, so you crack on, David.
It's going to be fascinating. Catherine's got lots of work to do, lots of more interviews to do today. We'll tell you all about them tomorrow. With Daily, don't forget, daily shows from the French Open. The Tennis Podcast will be with you, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, who today have got an 8-page pullout all about the French Open. It's a really good read. Simon Briggs and Charlie Eccleshare have been going to town. There's a piece about facing John Isner's serve. That's what Simon Briggs has been to do. There's obviously stuff about Nadal. There's a good piece on Petra Kvitova. There's one on Mats Wilander, your good friend Catherine, talking about Kyle Edmund and why he thinks he's such a threat these days. And I would advise anybody to have a read of one from a couple of days ago with Robin Söderling, the man who ended Nadal's reign in 2009 briefly, and about the awful situation that Söderling had of having to call time on his career in 2011. He just won a title and then he went down with glandular fever. He could barely get out of bed, and it talks about how he feels that players are just too in awe of players like Nadal and that they need to just back themselves and unsettle these guys, are the words that Robin Söderling used. So do go and have a read of the Telegraph website and you'll find that. There's also a good interview with Denis Shapovalov, which marks what a historian he is about the sport. He's always going on YouTube and watching old matches and trying to copy the volleys of Pat Rafter and that sort of thing. So well worth having a read of that. A word as well about James Ward, who's just reached the semi-finals in Loughborough, the challenger there. He's had 2 years of awful injury problems, and yet he's back, and he's managed to get through to the semis there. So well done, James Ward. And, Catherine, we are launching our La Manga Club competition this week. If you would like to win a 3-day break at La Manga Club with a couple of days of coaching thrown in as well. You can't go in July and August, which is peak time, but you could go after that. So September, October, beautiful weather. Catherine went in September last year. You can enter our competition. Hashtag Tennis Pod Castaways. Hashtag Tennis Pod Castaways. What a good word that is. You've got to basically take a picture of yourself where the most exotic location you can possibly place the Tennis Podcast, whether you're wearing our t-shirt, whether you are just showing your phone to us in some exotic location, maybe you're just watching and listening in front of
David,
the fire.
The phone needs to, the phone
to
needs to be
dog.
Playing the Tennis Podcast. It can't just be a picture of people's phones.
Well, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. But you've got to be able to prove your commitment to the show.
Extra points definitely given for animals and merch. But if you have neither of those things, your entry will still be considered.
Yes, it will. And our decision is final. But somebody's getting a 3-day break free of charge. You've got to get yourself there. You've got to get your flights and all that. But you can get to La Manga Club, improve your forehand like Catherine Whittaker has, and have a lovely time and be trained for 2 days playing tennis. So that's going to happen. Catherine, I think that's about it for now. Anything else before I sign off?
No other business.
Lovely. Well, go and do your work. Go and interview people. We'll talk about it all tomorrow after the first day's play from Roland Garros. We have been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Melanie Bowes, our executive producers, tennisballs.com, SSS, Charlie the Ferret, our mascot, of course, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.